Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Would you find your Bible and travel over with me to the book of Acts? We'll look at Acts chapter 8. We'll begin in verse 26, and it is essentially God's invitation to go fishing. I like that. I like to go fishing. Now, just last week, we had a fabulous conference here, and we called it an apologetics conference. That's a fancy word taken out of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, that basically says we as followers of Jesus should always be ready to give a defense for the hope that we have in Christ. The word defense in Greek is apologia, and from that we take the word apologetics. It simply means you should know what you believe and why you believe it. It means that you should be able to articulate the evidence for the Christian faith and then provide the reasons for why you subscribe to it. So if you are a follower of Jesus, you should be an apologist. You don't say, "I'm sorry that I'm a Christian," but you're a defender of your faith, and you can reasonably articulate to other people why following Jesus makes all the sense in the world. Now, I'm an apologist, and if you are a serious follower of Jesus, you should be an apologist, but let's put that into practical terms. More appealing to me is the invitation to go fishing. You see, here's the point. We received a lot of information last weekend. As a matter of fact, I came to this sanctuary and it became a seminary Saturday a week ago, and I love to learn. Oh, I love to soak it up. And we heard wonderful, scintillating, brilliant talks on why the Christian faith is reasonable, did we not? And we touched about 700 people with this equipping. But friend, may I quickly confess one of my great shortcomings? I can be educated beyond my obedience. You see, the goal of learning is not knowledge, it is action. That's why God wants to fill our heart with His truth, not so that we can become obese with information, but He wants to motivate us to win the world, to share the most important news in the universe, and that is Jesus is the singular Savior, and He will save anybody who will come to Him. He puts it like this in the scripture, "Let's go fishing." As a matter of fact, let me sum it all up by simply making this note with you: move from education to engagement. Have you ever known some people, they just talk? They don't really ever do anything. They just talk about it. Oh, they talk about getting their degree, but they never sign up and go to school. They talk about acquiring a skill, but they never move. There are a lot of people who are just, as the Bible says, they're like rain clouds that never rain. The Bible tells us in James 1:22 that if we are authentic followers of Jesus, that we become doers of the word, not hearers only, who simply deceive ourselves. Now, I've been here with you for a long time, and I want to be a spiritual coach for you today, and I want to help you do what Jesus said: move from education to engagement. I want to help you be a fisher of people. Now, let me quickly tell you that I grew up in a fishing family. We didn't just talk about fishing, we caught fish. And I learned to catch fish with a cane pole from my daddy. I moved to a Zebco 33. We did trout lining. We went limb lining. I did all kind of fishing with gill nets. I mean, you name it, I have fished it. I have fished from Alaska to Africa and a lot in America. I don't just talk about fishing. Matter of fact, I actually go fishing. As a matter of fact, here is a picture of a string of fish that I caught a little bit ago. That's not a doctored picture now. I see some people, they've got that look of incredulous. Well, I'll tell you the whole story. Every year, a guy, Calvin Williams, and I have a fishing contest. And we take 2 hours and see who can catch the most fish. Now, he added a few to my stringer. Okay. I didn't catch every one of those, but I caught a bunch of them. Here's my point. I don't just talk about fishing. I actually go fishing. But I want to transfer that into the spiritual realm. You better take that down because I'm getting distracted. Let's go to the spiritual realm. You see, the Lord invites us to catch people. What did he mean? Well, in Matthew 4, he was talking to fishermen. Jesus always started with people where they were. And he said, I want to invite you to go fishing with me. Now, here's what I've discovered. When I will catch a fish, and I've caught many a fish from life unto death, they go from the lake to my frying pan. But when you catch somebody for Jesus, the process is reversed. We catch somebody out of death to life in Christ. Ephesians 2 says we are dead in our trespasses and sins. But in Jesus Christ, we have life, life abundant on earth, life forever in his presence in heaven. Can you imagine a greater truth? There's not a greater truth. There's not a greater invitation nor opportunity than to join the Lord Jesus in going fishing for men. Read it with me. It's on your worksheet. Matthew 4:19. This is the heart of the task. Read it with me. Let's read it out loud. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Well, with that in view, let's come to the scripture because I want to give you a biblical example of a fisher of men, somebody who didn't just talk about it, give lip service to it, somebody who was not educated beyond their obedience, but somebody who actually consistently, faithfully, creatively went fishing for people. His name is Philip. We'll begin his story here in verse 26. Let's look over in Acts 8, verse 26, and see a motivating, instructive example about how to be a fisher of men for the Lord Jesus. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise, go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. When he arose and went, behold, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace. And Candace was the queen of the Ethiopians. This man was in charge of all of her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was a seeker of God. Verse 28, when he was returning and sitting in his chariot, he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. When Philip had run up, he heard the man reading from Isaiah the prophet, and he said, do you understand what you are reading? He said, well, how can I unless someone guides me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him in the chariot. Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was from Isaiah 53. This is verse 7. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall relate to this generation? For his life is removed from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet speak, of himself or of someone else? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And as they went along on the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He ordered the chariot to stop. They both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. Let's join our hearts in prayer. Oh, gracious Father, thank you for this simple and yet instructional and motivational example of what you expect from all of your children. not just Philip, but from me and from every authentic Christ follower. Lord, I pray that you would get me out of the way, that your Spirit might take your truth, your powerful, compelling truth about the gospel, and deposit it into the hearts of every receptive person. And I pray for that in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Well, here's the first thing that I would have you note. Philip's example teaches us to be available. Would you please write that down? Philip's example teaches us to be available. In the next few moments, let's examine Philip's character and extract some qualities from his character that we should have in ours if we want to truly be fishers of men. Let's begin here. He was available. If we back up a little bit in the story, we realize that Stephen had been stoned and the church there in Jerusalem had scattered. Philip was this deacon, and he went to a place in Samaria, and he began to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in Jesus, they don't have to be eternally separated from God, the source of life, but they can have eternal life forever. And it starts when you embrace Jesus. And so he was preaching, and all of a sudden, he heard the Spirit of God speak to him and say, Philip, I want you to go, and I want you to represent me down into the desert area. And true to his calling, he was available. Now, I want to suggest to you something. I believe the greatest ability of any Christian is truly availability. Now, some of you may think, oh, I wished I had more abilities. I wish I could preach like Billy Graham. I wish I could sing like Chip Coley and Karen Mullins. I wish I could teach a Sunday school lesson like that Chuck Ashley. I wish I could lead like a CEO of a Fortune 500 company. I wish I had that ability. You see, the greatest ability is truly availability, because we've all seen people who have great ability, and yet if your ability is locked up in a boat that is stuck in the harbor of selfishness, then that ability does no good until it is released to the Lord, until it is utilized. Philip is an example of a man who was available to do God's work. If you study his life, you'll find in Acts chapter 6 that he was one of the first deacons. And a deacon is simply a person, a follower of Jesus, who has said, I want to serve. The word deacon means I will serve through the dust. It's somebody who has exchanged their baby's bib of taking a little bit of milk every now and then on a Sunday morning, and they've put on the apron of service. They've taken a towel like Jesus used to wash the disciples' feet, and they say, Lord, count me in. I'm available to do your work. I'm not just going to soak up and sit and sour. I will serve you. Philip is a man who was available to serve, much like Isaiah. Please note on your worksheet, Isaiah 6:8. Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And what did he famously say? Here am I, Lord. Here am I. Send me. It's a picture of availability. Let me ask you a question. Today, right now, when it comes to serving the Lord, fishing for men, doing the main thing of sharing Christ's hope in this world of brokenness, are you available or AWOL? You see, if you are a soldier for Christ, you know what AWOL is? Absent without leave. Not available. You have left your post. You have shirked your duty. Now, over the years, I've been following the Lord for a long time. I know that many people, they talk about being available. They talk about service. They talk about being a fisher of men and being a witness for Christ. But it seems like they just don't ever get around to it. And I think there are two reasons. There are some people who are scared and others who are scarred. There are people who are scared. They feel like they are inadequate. They don't have enough training and information. They may say the wrong thing and run the fish away. There are people who are scared. Others are scarred. The devil talks that person into unavailability because of their past. They don't feel worthy. And many of you, if you'll listen to what I'm saying and be honest with it, you will put yourself in one of those categories. You are either scared or scarred, and both of them are not worthy of our Savior. Because we learn in Romans chapter 8, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we learn that in Christ, His love casts out our fear. Oh, my friend, don't be scared, don't be scarred, don't be AWOL. Be available. Let's go to number two. Not only was Philip like Isaiah, and he was available. He said, Lord, count me in, but he was obedient. I love the picture of his obedience. It's called the diaspora, when all of the Christians began to flee from Jerusalem because of the persecution chronicled in Acts chapter 6 and 7 when Stephen was stoned. We find Philip in Samaria. He is preaching a revival. And evidently, we learn in the scripture passage that many people are coming to Christ, yet he is tuned into the Lord's voice. He is listening. And an angel of the Lord, we learn in verse 26, spoke to Philip saying, I want you to arise, go south on a road that descends into the desert. Now, I don't know about you, but that wouldn't be a very appealing assignment. To leave the city of Samaria where you have a great revival going on, where people are coming to Christ, and then do what doesn't seem to make sense. To leave that revival and just go down into a desert road? I kind of like air conditioning myself and fried chicken. If I was preaching a big revival somewhere and a lot of people were getting saved, I think I would be hesitant to be obedient, but not Philip. You see, he is dialed into the Lord. He has his spiritual hearing operating right. Heard about a fellow who was bragging to his buddy. He said, yeah, I got me a new hearing aid. His buddy said, what kind is it? He said, it's 4 o'clock. I want you to check your spiritual hearing. You see, the Bible tells us in John chapter 10, the great truth. Jesus said, I'm the shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice, and they know me and follow me. Are you in that category? Check your spiritual hearing. You see, we know that God is personal. He speaks a personal word to us. Evidently, Philip was so dialed in to the voice of God that he heard him. And he did something that really didn't make sense. He left this hot revival to go to the hot desert because he was obedient. Friends, this is the key. Obedience releases God's activity in your life. You see, after you pray, you better obey. Otherwise, you are disobedient to the Lord. The scripture tells us, for instance, in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought to make it obedient to Christ. This is the key, obedience to Christ. This is what the Lord expects. Many years ago, as a teenager, I heard someone speaking, and I don't remember their name, but I do remember God's point. This man pulled out a checkbook, and he said, I've written a blank check to God. I've filled it, the amount is whatever, whenever, however. I've signed it. And Lord, you fill in the amount. That's what obedience really amounts to. It's saying, Father, your will be done. I'm willing to follow you and to do whatever you prescribe. May I ask you this very important question? Have you given God your blank check? Have you said, Lord, I will go wherever you lead me. I will obey. I will not obey the corrupt culture that is hell-bound and surrounds me. But I will obey your living truth, and I will obey the voice of your Spirit. I will go where you direct me to go. I will be obedient. Obedient to what? Well, let me just kind of give you a quick bottom line. Did you know that you can synthesize much of all that God requires of you and expects you to obey if you write down two scriptures, Matthew 22, 37 through 39. That is called the Great Commandment. You know it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Fuse that with the Great Commission of Jesus Christ found in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, where Jesus said in his last orders to the disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've taught you, and I'll be with you to the end. If you fuse both of them, what do you have? Love God and others by sharing. That's it. Obey it. Love God and others by sharing the gospel, becoming a witness, functioning as a fisher of men. Well, let's continue in this picture, in this extraction process, as we examine Philip's life. There's, first of all, a picture of availability and obedience, and then number three is bold. Oh, I see a man who was bold. We pick up the story in verse 29. Here he is, obediently following the Lord, and he is on a desert road. Doesn't make a lot of sense, but there he is on the desert road, and he will have there a divine appointment. It wasn't a coincidence. It was a divine incidence. And there the Spirit said to him, go. He obeyed. And the Scripture says he meets this man from Ethiopia, and it's a divine appointment. Now, I want you to see the context. Always inject yourself into the Scripture. Here is Philip. He's a hitchhiker. He's not dressed in a fancy robe, and he encounters this royal entourage heading back to Ethiopia. And as this royal entourage in a fancy chariot drawn by stallions and surrounded by guards and a supply train, as they pass him, he boldly runs up to them and he flags them down. He says, wait a minute, hey guys, stop. The Spirit of God has told me to speak to you. Now that's pretty bold. Let me ask you that moment. In that moment, would you be bold or would you be cold? Would you have the impulse of God's Spirit operative in your life, motivating you to go and boldly do something that was way out of your comfort zone? Or would you be cold to the Spirit of God and disobey Him? Well, Philip was bold. I like that about this fella. It took a lot of cultural courage to do what he did, because here he was a hitchhiker on foot. There was a man who was in a chariot. Philip was poor. This man was wealthy. Philip had light skin. This man was from Ethiopia. He had dark skin. Philip was uneducated. This man was highly educated. And yet Philip set aside all of those cultural disparities, and he went to the heart of the issue with a sense of boldness. You see, Paul put it like this. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God, the singular dunamis or power of God for salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In other words, everybody. Because God loves everybody. So here is bold Philip. He is going to share the good news with this man that he's never met before, because God told him to. Let me ask you this. I don't know any other way to put it. Are you bold or cold? Do you go for Jesus? Do you glorify the Lord and how you live your life? Do you seize opportunities to share Christ? Are you an intentional fisher of men? Or do you just talk about it? Do you deceive yourself by giving yourself credit for something you thought of? Yeah, I ought to exercise today and check that one off, but you never do it. I ought to tell somebody that I love about Jesus and how He's impacted my life, but never do it. You see, be bold. That's the call of God. Now, let me show you something else here. Biblically literate, number four, biblically literate. When Philip started talking with this man, it so happened that he was reading from the scroll of Isaiah, and precisely he happened to be on Isaiah 53. Now, many of you know that Isaiah 53 is the Gospels in the Old Testament. Isaiah had been written hundreds of years earlier, and evidently this Ethiopian was a God seeker, and he was also very wealthy. The scroll of Isaiah would have cost a year's wages. So he had purchased this scroll to find the Lord. And he is reading Isaiah 53 in this moment when God sends the arrow of a witness to his heart. Philip steps up, and what if Philip didn't know the Bible? What if Philip said, golly, what is that book, Isaiah? Could you tell me more? I have no idea what's in it. But you see, Philip had taken the time to learn the Word of God, because the Word of God is true. Now, this is going to take effort. We can't do a Dr. Spock mind merge on anybody here, but if you want to be a true disciple, it is incumbent upon you to be disciplined and take the time to learn the living Word of God. And there's no substitute. I just can't pour it in an open ear. You've got to do more than show up on a Sunday morning. You've got to open God's Word and learn its truths. And its truths are enduring. Its truth is a compass for you. You need to learn the Word of God. Fortunately, Philip was biblically literate. He knew Isaiah 53, and he said, "Sir, let me explain to you the context. You see, every year the priest would offer a lamb as prescribed by the Levitical law. And, sir, I want you to understand that that lamb was offered at the Passover to cover our sins, because our sin requires a sacrifice to a holy God. And I want you to know that that lamb was the sinless Son of God named Jesus Christ. He lived a perfect life. He died a brutal death on the cross. He arose and validated his claim. And now he invites us to follow him. He lives in my spirit, and he wants to live in your spirit, my friend, if you'll invite him in." You see, he knew the word, and he shared the word of God, and his heart opened. I would suggest to you that there are people all around you, and they are hungry for hearing the word of God, and they're looking to you to share it. Let's go to the last truth, because here's the bottom line. If you are available, obedient, and bold, if you're biblically literate, then the goal is sharing Jesus. Sharing Jesus every day and every way. The scripture simply says in verse 35 that Philip preached Jesus to him. He didn't do an analysis of his past. There was no psychobabble or positive thinking. He didn't give him a course on yoga. He said, "The core of your problem, my friend, my wealthy, politically correct friend, is you need Jesus." And he shared Jesus with him. Now, we don't have all of the dialogue, but I can tell you this. He probably gave him an ABC booklet about like this. Maybe not in this precise form, but he gave him the great truth of God's word. It's as simple as ABC. You got to admit that you are a sinner, and our sin separates us from God. Because if you're not a sinner, you don't need a Savior. You must believe that Jesus died on that cross for you. And I've got an idea. He gave him some version of John 3:16, the most important truth in all the world, that God doesn't hate us. He loves us so much that he died to cover our sin debt. And if we would trust him, not trust ourselves, not trust our culture, not trust our grandmother's faith, but if we would trust him and him alone, then what would happen? He would save us, which means to be made whole. And how do you do that? You connect to the Lord with a hand of faith. You call upon him, and you invite him to come into your life. So after this was explained, the Ethiopian embraced Jesus. Now, my friend, I want you to understand that sharing Jesus is just sharing good news. There's a reference to 2 Kings 7:9, and it's the picture of these four lepers who go out, and they find this abandoned campsite where 200,000 people had been, and there's all kind of food and clothing and weaponry and riches, and they start to just gorge themselves on food and dress themselves in finery, and then all of a sudden, they're overcome with common sense. And these four lepers say, "If we don't tell our friends back in the city who are starving to death about this wealth and its availability, then we are terrible sinners." They are overcome with common sense, and they do what's right. They go and share the wealth. Isn't that what a witness is? Are we trying to be judgmental or superior? No. A witness is just one beggar telling the other beggars where the free bread is located, and Jesus is the bread of life. As natural as a southerner talks about grits or football, you ought to talk about Jesus. As naturally as you would give a review on a restaurant or a movie or your grandchildren, you ought to share the good news about Jesus. Oh, that's what he expects. Well, here's the bottom line, friends. Bottom line is so beautiful. This Ethiopian, he came to faith in Christ. You see, we don't save anybody. Philip didn't save him. He was just an available servant. And this man committed his life to Jesus Christ. He chose to believe in him. But part of that equation was what? Someone who was available. You check your life. Are you available? Someone who was obedient. Someone who was bold. Someone who was biblically literate. They knew and then shared the word of God. And then someone who was focused upon Jesus. Will you be that someone and be a fisher of people? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, oh, we thank you for this invitation that you've given us to join your work in fishing for people, catching people out of death, and ushering them into eternal life by helping them connect to you. Lord, thank you that you didn't simply assign this task to angels, but you allow us the privilege of joining you and experiencing the excitement and the fulfillment, the significance of helping you build your kingdom. May we truly be obedient to this opportunity, and we pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.